Hello and welcome to the Lying Media Bastards radio show.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to ride. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window. Open it and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Living off borrowed time, the clock tick faster. That'll be the hour they knock the slick blaster. Dick Dastardly and Muttley with sick laughter. A gunfight and they come to cut the mix master. ICE Cole, nice to be old. Y2G Steve twice to threefold. He sold scrolls, lo and behold. Know who's the illest ever, like the greatest story told. Keep your glory gold and glitter. For half of his niggas to take him out the picture. The other half is rich and it don't mean shit to. Villain, a mixture between both with a twist of liquor. Chasing with more beer, tasting like truth or dare. When he at the mic, it's like the place get like, oh yeah. It's like they know what's about to happen. Just keep your eye out like I capping. Is he still a fly guy clapping if nobody ain't hear it? And can they testify from in the spirit? And living the true gods, giving y'all nothing but the lick like two broads. Got more lyrics than the church, got ooh lords. And he hold the mic in your attention like two swords. Or either one with two blades on it. Hey you, don't touch the mic like it's AIDS on it. Yeah, it's like the end to the means. Fuck type of message that sends to the fiends. That's why he bring his own needles and get more cheese than Doritos, Cheetos or Fritos. Slip like Freudian, your first and last step to playing yourself like accordion. When he at the mic, you don't go next. Leaving pussy cats like why hoes need Protex. Exercise index won't need Bowflex and won't take the one with no skinny legs like Joe Tex.
Hey folks, this is Jake. Thanks for tuning into the show today. That just there was a Mad Villain doing a song called Accordion. Mad Villain is a combination of MF Doom and Madlib. That was one of the first big underground hip-hop collaborations in the past couple of years featuring MF Doom. He's been all over the place. Got a bit of fame for himself working with Danger Mouse for the Danger Doom project. But Madlib, sadly, still doesn't get too much credit. So there you go. Some Mad Villain. The album is called Mad Villainy. Go figure. Let's see. Talking politics. I want to retract slightly the stuff I was saying yesterday about the Mideast Peace Summit in Annapolis this week being a total sham. Yesterday I mentioned some of the things that the Israeli government was doing which would make any sort of negotiations with Palestine would make them very difficult. So therefore I wrote the whole thing off. But there are many other nations who are going to be coming to this, so it's possible that you'll see some movement on some other issues. Or possibly some of these other nations might be more open to negotiating with each other now or in the future. But, the things that I was talking about yesterday just said very clearly that Israel was not about to say yes to anything about Palestine. So I just wanted to mention that. Let's see here. In Washington, it's a city with a weird name. In Tukwila in Washington State. A couple weeks back, there was a walkout. About 1,000, let's see, about 150 students allegedly at Tukwila, Washington, at Foster High School, walked out of their class. Apparently some of the teachers were supportive of this action or took no action to stop their students from leaving because of this protest. One of the teachers was fired, a fellow named Brett Rogers. Outright, the administration fired him for supporting his students in their walkout. They threatened to fire about 5 other teachers from the sound of it, and they're talking about disciplining the students. And this seems to be a repeating theme these days, that students take some sort of anti-war action and are punished for it. Now, some folks are calling for support for these threatened and fired teachers by contacting the school administration, which, I never know if this is a good idea, if this is the sort of thing where that'll put the pressure on the administrators to back off from their position, or if that makes them get their back up against the wall and be more likely to take the negative actions. Yes, I've got, I guess I'll post a link on my site since these email addresses and phone numbers are long. But if you want to contact, there's an organization calling itself the, the Tukwila Teachers and Student Solidarity Committee. If you want more information about helping out, the email address is foster_nfo@hotmail.com, foster_nfo@hotmail.com. Phone number 253-573-9252. If you want to get involved, also there's a website, Youth Against War and Racism, which are they're the ones who organized the walkout, YAWR.org. Last time I checked, they honestly didn't have that much information about these latest developments. They just had some stuff about the walkouts themselves. So, yeah. Also, just a horrific headline I saw over on Alternet. 120 war vets commit suicide each week. Apparently, and they cite in this, there is a CBS News research effort where they contacted the governments of all 50 states about suicide rates. One of them, the suicide rates going back 12 years, and they found that there were, in 45 states that got back to them, they found that there were 6,256 veteran suicides in 2005, 120 suicides every week for a year, and an average of 17 per day. So, that's awful. And again, it's one of these things that it's saying that maybe the death toll, maybe the impact of this on the soldiers is much greater than anybody had, anybody saying out in public. I read a report over the weekend that said that there were, I think it was 50,000, I think it was literally 50,000, or 30,000 perhaps. Yes, 30,000 U.S. soldiers with brain injuries that had not been listed on the casualty tolls. So on top of the 20,000 soldiers that were injured already that were being mentioned in the public counts, there was another 30,000 who had been had brain injuries of some kind. I don't know if that's just shrapnel or concussions or serious damage, but somehow that wasn't getting mentioned. So that ups it from 20,000 casualties to 50,000 wounded casualties, which is larger. Let's see. And then I was listening today to an interesting interview with Chris Hedges. No, not Chris Hedges. God damn it, I can't remember the name of the guy that was interviewed. Anyhow, the guy who wrote Jihad vs. McWorld, he wrote another book about consumerism. And he got interviewed about Black Friday, as they call it, the big shopping day on the day after Thanksgiving. And I was reminded that the other fake shopping holiday is now the following Monday, which they call Cyber Monday, because that's the day that's the closest to... Well, that's the day after the busiest shopping day of the year, on the Friday after Thanksgiving. But that's the first weekday after it where everyone can go into work and use their their business internet account, use that internet connection to do shopping. So anyhow, it's just insane, you know, this all of the shopping. Because there's so many things that you don't actually want or need, and to get them, you have to spend time at work, and most people don't like their jobs. So you have to get the crap, you have to work more. When if you worked less and did without the crap, you'd probably have more time to do stuff that you did like, which is something that always boggles my mind. In this interview, there was a lot of talk about how the consumerism isn't driven that much by the consumer. Of course, consumers like us play a part, but advertising, marketing, and the sort of creation of a instant gratification culture is really on the part, you know, thanks to trillions of dollars spent by advertisers, marketers, and big business over the past, you know, century, has helped turn Americans into that. I've read in History of the United States that there was for quite some time there was a very frugal Protestant nation that was seen as a virtue to be frugal, to save your money, to not have lavish expenditures. But around the time that the mass production in factories was coming out, suddenly the owners of these factories were like, well, geez, we got all this crap that no one's going to buy. We got to encourage these people to start buying our crap. And there was a big effort then to try to pull them away from the frugality, from the savings, from the pragmatism that these workers had before, and get them to spend their hard-earned factory money on the crap that was being turned out in the factories. And this reminds me of a fun saying that I'd heard before that said, in the 1980s, capitalism defeated communism, and in the 1990s, it defeated democracy. Certainly capitalism, well, we don't even have much in the way of real capitalism. The big business that yells so much about free market, no restraints, no regulations, they put quite a bit of effort into trying to make sure that copyright is regulated, that people don't pirate things, that the intellectual property is protected, and there are thorough laws about that. So that's sort of a funny thing that goes against the free market ideals they yap about. And then, of course, all of these companies get such huge, well, many of them get such huge government subsidies that, they're getting handouts. That's not free market. That's it's a form of socialism, really. And then capitalism as well. There's just sort of this concept of capitalism at its core. If you stripped it down to this idea of, like, you know, people out at the, some sort of open-air market, and you're all, hey, I want to buy some shoes, and here's a guy at stand A selling shoes, and here's a guy at stand B selling shoes, and now you can just take a look. Well, okay, what's this one better quality? Is one better priced? Does one have more features? I mean, that's the concept behind democracy, or behind capitalism, that says why it should work, because there'd be competition to get the consumer what they want at the lowest possible price. But thanks to marketing, there's been quite a bit of muddying of what people actually want. People don't quite know what they want. They're told what they want. And that helps brainwash us, as much as we'd like to believe that we are immune to advertising. Of course, we're not. If nobody was affected by advertising, they wouldn't spend the billions of dollars a year to do it. So, and on top of that, the advertising allows the companies to compete with each other, not on the basis of product quality or product features or price, but in the way that they try to trick you, manipulate you, and otherwise persuade you. You know, this product here is, this is the soda that you drink if you're extreme. This is the soda you drink if you're really hip and kind of funny and quirky. This is the soda if you want to be all feminine and get the men. And so there's a way that these products, well, first of all, they're not even competing with each other that much anymore, because you can try to convince people that, if this is... this isn't just... You're not just going to buy a drink and you choose which is the cheapest, tastiest soda. No, various types of sodas. And this, Mountain Dew, the extreme soda, very, very different from a Diet Pepsi or a regular Pepsi. The advertising makes it so. So these products aren't competing, and even if they were, so now you're getting, they're getting competition. The marketing is competing with other marketing rather than the products competing with other products. And I spent way too much time talking about that already. I'm going to get out of here. Song. I'm going to play a band called Please Inform the Captain. This is a hijack. And they do sort of this weird mix of politically radical 70s disco sounding montages, and then they combine that with sort of a hardcore hardcore rock. So I'm going to play them, and I'm going to get out of here, and I'll get another show on tomorrow, I hope. Bye.
Blast off.
Please inform the captain.
This is
hey.
Please inform the captain.
This is
hey.
Join us now at the airport for a jet flight.
Your door, and it's the man will be retribution. Be ready to grow.